Welcome to tonight's Diabetes Chat, guys. I am Tom. I am the co-host for tonight. Tonight we are joined by Paul, Leslie, Allison from the Diabetes Community and Tech Collective. We're also joined by Daniel, and Jackie's in the background and has been part of the process of helping set up tonight. So thank you, Jackie, from Diabetes Scotland. So we'll be hearing a representation from Diabetes Scotland as well. In tonight's chat, we'll be talking about hashtag Diabetes Tech. Can't wait. And I think we've already touched upon it already in our open welcome chat tonight. So if you want to get involved, you can hashtag Diabetes Chat, or and you can also hashtag Diabetes Tech Can't Wait. And you can press that little tech little button at the bottom, and you can see and tweet messages out, basically, and we can keep track and bring some comments and questions to the panel. So tonight we're going to be talking about technology and fair access rights for all, not only in Scotland but also across all four nations of the UK, but also further afield and across the world globally. So without further ado, it's an honor and a delight to welcome Paul, Leslie, Allison, Daniel, and I know Jackie listening in the background to our Diabetes Chat special tonight. Welcome, gang.
Hi, Tom.
Hi.
Oh, mic's off.
Hi, Tom. Thanks for having us.
You're welcome. Welcome, guys. It's going to be a great chat. I know you guys have been working extremely hard to prepare for tonight's chat. You've had meetings, a couple of meetings, and you've been prepping tonight. So great job, guys. But also all the amazing stuff that you've been doing in the lead up, like in the whole campaign itself, which we're going to talk about tonight. And if you guys want to get involved, like I said, hashtag Diabetes Chat, or you can hashtag Diabetes Tech Can't Wait, and we'll bring some of them comments to everyone. But before we start, I think we'll just briefly introduce everyone. So we start with Allison, then Paul, then Dan, and then Leslie. Just introduce yourselves to the Diabetes Chat community, just a little bit about yourself, who you are, what your connection is to diabetes, and anything else that you wish to quickly share, and then we'll crack on with tonight's amazing chat.
Hi guys, I'm Alison. I'm a type 1 diabetic. I've been diabetic now for 39 years. I got my first insulin pump 14 years ago now. And I'm one of these lucky ones who didn't have any trouble at all getting access, but I guess more on that later. And I got my first pump choice last November, so that was exciting. Is that all? Is that all you want to know? Move on.
Yeah. That's great. That's a nice little introduction, Ali.
Thank you.
Over to you, Paul.
Hi, so I'm Paul. I'm 44 years old. I was diagnosed with type 1 diabetes 26 years ago, so around 18. My brother and three of my cousins also have type 1, so quite a lot of us, my family. I'm a volunteer for Diabetes UK and Diabetes Scotland, and a member of their tech collective, obviously, why I'm here tonight. And yeah, I'm a big fan and advocate for all things tech for diabetes.
Amazing, Paul. Thank you for joining us tonight. And Daniel.
Hi, thanks for having me, Tom. So my name is Daniel O'Malley. I'm the Campaigns and Public Affairs Officer for Diabetes Scotland. And what that entails is I help coordinate the national campaigns in Scotland for people living with diabetes, but specifically at the moment around our campaign for fair and equal access to diabetes technology. The other side of my role is about engaging with the Scottish Parliament and the Scottish Government to make sure that the issues affecting people living with diabetes are kept at the top of the political agenda in Scotland. So thank you for having me tonight.
Absolutely. It's a privilege to have you here, Daniel, with us and alongside the Tech Collective team. So I'm sure tonight's going to be really interesting, and thanks for being here. And Leslie, hello.
Hi, I'm extremely nervous tonight. It will show in my voice. I've been type 1 for 43 years, pumping for 2.5. I volunteer on the Tech Collective. I sit on the Diabetes Cross Party Group. I also do type 1 events working with families, and I'm a peer support facilitator with Diabetes Scotland.
Absolutely amazing, Leslie. And we're all here tonight. It's going to be a really good chat, and appreciate all your time and effort, guys, in raising awareness. And tonight it'd be great to talk about diabetes tech. Can't wait. So let's begin, and let's talk about what is the Tech Collective, because people that are listening right now or will listen back, they may not know what the Tech Collective is. So what is it?
I'll jump in first. It's a group that was set up by Diabetes Scotland, mainly for people who are passionate about using technology to manage their diabetes. Members of the group, we are happy to share experiences. We've got expert knowledges in technology, and we can help discuss the issues around using technology, the pros and cons, and the issues we have it in getting access to it and using it.
And how many people are part of this team in Scotland, Paul?
I'm not sure of the exact number. There is quite a few of us. We have regular meetings as well. And there's a campaign on at the moment as well to try and get more people to grow it, to get more people to join.
Absolutely. And I'm sure we'll talk about that tonight. And we've got some links that we'll share out to give you some light nighttime reading or some time to go away and check out the links and the campaigns. Anything else, Alison, Leslie, you want to add on to that and Dan?
For me, because we're all
connected to Type 1. I've got a big long list here. Do you want me to read something? There's lots of stuff that the main thing, I guess, for me is that the Tech Collective's a collective voice. You know, we can all sort of do our own individual thing, but I think becoming part of a group just makes us stronger. Mm-hmm. And taking that sort of any issues that we feel, you know, we can raise them at our meetings. And the campaign at the moment is just firsthand connection, basically, to everybody that can drive the change forward. I think that's the beauty about being here, is that we're so close to that. You know, it's not like miles away and, you know, in another part of the, well, it is, I suppose, if you're up north, in Edinburgh. So, you know, we've got the Scottish Parliament. I live quite close to the Parliament as well. But it's just having that collective voice to take forward various issues,
and
you know, that we all feel.
Yeah, absolutely. And part of the group then is that obviously people from different walks of life, different types of diabetes, maybe it'd be interesting to know, is it got people from different walks of life? So there might be someone who's quite newly diagnosed with diabetes, or might be someone like who has had it like 30, 40 years. And part of the team is that different people who've got different backgrounds of ways they manage their diabetes as well. So in a way, is it nice to connect with these people like Paul said in these Zoom meetings and things, that you're sharing lived experiences, right? Talking.
Absolutely, you're right. There's different. Everyone's got different skill levels. Everyone's got different comfort levels of what technology they're comfortable using. So, like you said, just talking about that in a group, sharing that, having people from Diabetes UK, Diabetes Scotland, listening to our voice and the things that we're experiencing, and then being able to feed that back to those decision makers, that really does make a big difference.
Absolutely brilliant. Leslie, was there anything else that you wanted to share with the Diabetes Chat community tonight on what the Tech Collective is?
After my first Tech Collective meeting, I realised I'm not alone.
Mm.
I live up in the north of Scotland, one clinic for the whole area. So you're very sort of isolated in forms of diabetes.
So actually, it's very powerful, isn't it? Not only are you like potentially liaising with people in Parliament and things like that, it's giving people voices and confidence to network and talk, but it's also a peer support group, right? Where, like you say, you don't feel alone. You can share with people who have got like-mind experiences, who have been wearing that t-shirt for many years, been in that same boat. And I think we all see the huge positives that peer support has for people, the benefits. So yeah, it sounds really, really good. All amazing things that you guys are doing for the tech collective. Daniel, was there anything else that you wanted to add on to that little section?
Yeah, I would just add on really that the tech collective, you know, internally in Diabetes Scotland, we refer to the tech collective as the engine that's driving forward this campaign for fair and equal access to diabetes technology in Scotland. If it wasn't for the tech collective, we wouldn't have gotten so many of the opportunities that have come up, because people living with diabetes have those connections in a way that we might not necessarily be able to. And frankly, we're here tonight because of three fantastic members of the tech collective. And that really shows the power of what the tech collective is. It's that engine for change that's going to achieve fair and equal access to diabetes technology across Scotland.
Absolutely. We've got a question come through, hashtag diabetes chat and also hashtag diabetes tech. Can't wait if you want to guys get involved. Is there a tech collective for other parts of the UK, different like England, Wales, Ireland? If not, why?
I can jump in on that. As Diabetes Scotland is also Diabetes UK. The Tech Collective is innovative. It's the first of its kind. It's something that it's really leading the way in terms of advocacy for, in this case, diabetes technology. But Tom, I think you hit the nail on the head as well. It has a dual function of, you know, it's a campaigning collective, but it's also a peer support collective of people that come together, share the information about the issue that they're campaigning for.
Yeah.
So it's definitely something that we've spoken about in the wider Diabetes UK. Paul himself came and spoke at an internal town hall to about 200, 250 fellow colleagues of Diabetes UK and spoke about why the Tech Collective was such an important part. So definitely if it's something that people are keen on in other parts of the UK or around the world, I would definitely say it's something that, you know, go to your local diabetes organization. Yeah. And see if they're up for supporting it.
Definitely, and we'll talk more about it now, guys, so you guys can get more insights to the amazing things that the guys are doing. But before we do that, Alison, we'll start with you, then Paul, then Leslie. Why did you join the Tech Collective? What motivated you to want to get involved in it, and how did you hear about it? How did you get involved in this?
Harry, can I just say quickly, am I the only one that wasn't able to hear Daniel there? I couldn't hear anything he was saying. Ooh, unfortunately.
Okay. Maybe if you jump off the line, come out the call, go, and then come back in, and then Mark will accept your request, and then that might fix the problem. Okay.
Will do.
Let's go to Paul then. Paul, what about you? Why did you join the Tech Collective? How did you hear about it? How did you get involved in it? And what sort of inspired you to want to get involved in it?
Sure. So I joined the Tech Collective back in 2018. It was really on the back of the Fight for Flash campaign. So I'd been finger pricking and using multiple daily injections for a long time. Yep. I really wanted the Libre sensors. I found out that it was available in some parts of the country, but not in my area. And I saw the Diabetes UK campaign for Fighting for Flash and joined that. And that was the real driver for me wanting to join the Tech Collective.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think brilliant. As well, myself, I've always loved computers and gadgets. I'm pretty happy using them all the time. I like explaining using them. I'm happy to describe how to use them to other people, signpost them to what they can do with the devices they have. And as part of the Fight for Flash campaign, it turned out that the area I lived in, I wasn't able to get access to Libre, but the area my brother lives in a different part of Scotland, he could get access to Libre on NHS. The comparison there, two brothers, both type 1, living in different parts of the country, one can access this and one can't. So that was a real turning point.
Yeah. And it's so frustrating when you hear things like that you seem like it feels like it's a postcode lottery where certain areas may have it and certain areas don't have it, or you might be fighting it for it in more in one area than the other. And I think that the the whole ethos of, from what I'm getting from the whole tech collective, is trying to make this inclusive to all. Like, there's options for people, no matter where you live in the country, not only in Scotland, but the rest of the four nations and across the world as well. And it's really saddening when you hear stories like your particular story, Paul, where your brother had it and you didn't, and you're fighting for it, and it shouldn't be that case. And I'm so glad that you joined the tech collective, and I'm so glad that you were able to get the technology that you need.
Yeah.
So brilliant. Leslie. I think we've lost Leslie. So we'll come to Alison. Good old technology tonight, guys.
Oh, the irony.
The irony.
Yeah. It's a funny one, because I, as I say, it's mind blowing to me when I first started hearing stories of the guys, you know, especially up north. And God, you know, just got me quite emotional, because I never experienced anything like that here in Edinburgh. And I was diagnosed a long time ago, and I've moved around, you know, I was living in London, lived in New Zealand, come back again, and had a baby, and just have always had awesome, you know, help at the clinic, and, you know, just loved my team at the hospital. So I really only found out about the Tech Collective when I was actually inquiring about, during the pandemic, actually, takes me right back, when I was really quite stressed about the whole thing, vaccinations. It was for my son. I won't go into that at the moment, but it made me realise that if you don't actually speak up and ask for help, you're just never going to find out anything. And it was really getting in touch with Diabetes Scotland, because of the, you know, just not getting great information at the time, that I was then asked if I wanted to join a peer support group, which was just, oh, a revelation, just fantastic. I mean, we do all this stuff with Twitter, you know, tweet chats, and obviously diabetes chat is awesome. But back then, during the pandemic, we really needed something, you know, to share information and you know, just get as a group, you know, close knit in Scotland. So Diabetes Scotland just really came through big time on that. And of course, I'm just one of these people, I just want to know information. I want to know everything that's going on, up to date stuff, just be kept up to date, you know, which is difficult, you know, because you don't see your clinic very often, you know, you're not in touch with them often. And it was actually the Diabetes Scotland facilitator who said to me, "Oh, Alison, you really ought to join the Tech Collective. It's not, I don't think it was quite up and running again because of the pandemic at the time, but she says, I promise you, you know, once we're up and running again, I'll put your email down and you'll start getting invitations for meetings and what have you." And that for me was just like the catalyst, you know, just like the light bulb that flicked on. And I think that was really where I kind of found my voice, because if you can't advocate for your own health, you know, at a time like that when you really need it, you know, when are you gonna? And it just sort of snowballed from there, because once you join the Tech Collective, you join the cross-party group, and it's just, I can't put into words how grateful you feel at being able to kind of just put across how you feel about your own health and how you have to manage it 24/7, what we all do, living our lives and thriving in the lives that we live. And, you know, you meet people that are really rooting for you and want the best for you, and they know the ways through to get that, hopefully, because we don't, you know, but we're the ones having to live it and live with it. So we have to be part of that. We absolutely have to be part of that. And I will always keep saying that. if you don't get involved, you know, you can't influence and you can't help others, you know, because not everybody wants to be that person, you know, putting themselves forward. And it takes a lot of courage. I mean, I feel quite nervous just sitting here, but at the same time, it's such an opportunity. And you might think twice about it, but I tell you, once you grab it, you'll never look back, because you think, God, I'm so happy that I did it.
Absolutely.
Because you know that it's making an influence, and you have to take it and strangle it, I always think. hopefully it rubs off, you know?
Indeed.
Yeah, hopefully it'll rub off.
Thank you for sharing that, Alison. That's great to hear. And Leslie, hopefully we've got you back on the panel. Why did you join the Tech Collective, and how did you hear about it, and why did you get involved? What motivated you to get involved?
Well, for years I struggled with high blood sugars and hypo at 2 a.m. after I'd been doing karate. And to be honest, the hospital wasn't much help. They were just take a unit off. So taking units off, it created other problems at other times a day. So I was getting quite a bit of a dark place with it. So I went off looking to find out, no, there has to be a better way. And I found all these people online who said, oh yeah, you get this pump, you get CGM, the Libra, the Dexcom, the T-Slim. I'm like, why have I not been told about these? So I asked for tech, and I got told, oh, you've got to do a carb counting course. That'll be a couple of months. Couple of months passed, I phoned out, oh, it'll be 8 months. I'm like, great. No, that's another 6 months on top of what I'll have to wait anyway. But I was lucky and I got a cancellation. But I got an appointment saying, we're giving you a pump next month, come and pick one. Okay. Asked for the T-Slim. After doing tons of research, it was too expensive. So I made an agreement for Medtronic. The next week, the country shut down with COVID. So I was left waiting for ages. Oh, we'll get to you. But they might withdraw the Medtronic for a cheaper version. Oh, great. And I read reviews and documents on one of the cheaper versions, and it wasn't very good. So when I was told to contact my MSP to get them to speak to the hospital for me, which everything just went downhill. They were very, I don't think it'll make any difference to your time and to your A1C, your time and range. No, you should be lucky. Take what you're given and be grateful for it. This was during COVID, and I got into a really dark place with it.
Yeah, I bet.
I was ready to hand everything back and just say, look, if I'm costing you that much, I won't have it. I'll just see you in A&E. So eventually I did get a pump. But I don't want anyone else to go through that anymore, to be treated like that, like a drain on society.
Is that what inspires you to be part of the Tech Collective then? It's that you don't want people to go through what you walked, and you want to try and help.
Yeah. Exactly. If you're struggling with your diabetes and you're looking for a change, it's going to affect you mentally. You're not going to have the energy to take on accountants basically saying, oh, that's too expensive. So I don't want other people to go through that.
Thank you for sharing that. I think we've all probably been through situations, haven't we, where we've been in hard times or burnout or really fed up with diabetes. And when you are asking your teams, can you have this or that, and you can't get it for whatever reason, one of the comments when you hear is, your diabetes is too controlled. Yeah, but it doesn't just happen, does it? There has to be a reason why, because you're managing your diabetes. You might be micromanaging. You might be really attentive to detail to it. You know what I mean? It's hard. We all know it's relentless. And when you hear comments like, but your A1C is too good, it really gets me down. If that's the reason, because we know the relentlessness of getting to that point. And I'm sure we'll talk about it in a bit more detail later on. So, next question. What has the Tech Collective achieved so far, guys, on the social medias and some of the things that you guys have done to influence others? I know you mentioned the MPs and Scottish Parliament. So, is anyone who wants to jump in there and tell us what sort of things has the Tech Collective achieved so far?
One of the strange ones is I got a DM from a journalist. She was looking for someone who was struggling to get tech. So I put the feelers out. We know a lot of people, and I got a few. And there was a mum whose 10-year-old daughter, she had Libra, but it was never accurate. And she was told the G6 was too expensive. Or you're on the waiting list for a pump, it might be another 2 years. She was interviewed, the article was in the paper, we shared it online. And I know last week she got the Dexcom One a couple of weeks ago, and she had training for the Omnipod. So individuals are gaining from us encouraging, giving them the confidence to speak out.
That's brilliant to see the positive impacts of people speaking out and working within the Tech Collective and hearing the stories of that. It's a shame when you hear the difficult stages and when things aren't really in a good place. But when you do hear like things like she's got Dexcom One now and potentially talking about pump something, it is exciting to hear that. Alison, anything else that you wanted to bring in into this bit? What has the Tech Collective achieved so far?
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
I think for a lot of people, it's just highlighting again everybody's story, keeping everybody up to date, being proactive about trying to, you know, get different stories heard and out there, which just basically influences everybody else. The cross-party group is another contact that we have, that we just try to make sure that we keep up to date with everything going on. As far as making sure that people at MSPs in particular, that they understand what it's like to live with diabetes like we do 24/7, because, you know, at the end of it all, it's all going to boil down to money, isn't it, to actually fund these technologies that our clinicians, our awesome clinicians, are all fighting for. Because they know that these technologies work for us to give us a better quality of life. So I think, again, it's just, you know, keeping that utmost that, you know, diabetes doesn't go away, does it? So we're always going to have technology to think about if that's the road that we want to go down with technology. It's always going to be progressing. It's always going to be moving forward. So, you know, it's an investment, isn't it, in our health. It's just highlighting that and just never really letting them forget that.
Yeah, absolutely. And we all know the positive impacts of the technology. And when you hear people that they don't get access, it's really, really saddening. And also, like we've already mentioned tonight, we're very lucky, I guess, in the UK to be in the position of our healthcare system. When I know we've had previous guest speakers on from different countries, Zimbabwe, who maybe are still using syringes. Different parts of Asia where other initiatives like Action for Diabetes is helping with sending out equipment, basic equipment like blood glucose monitors to people who are living over in Southeast Asia because of the funding issues in healthcare systems. And then, of course, we hear things like in America, don't we, like the Insulin for All campaign and the cost of insulin. It's really sad when you hear people can't get the technology that we can all kind of see the benefits of. Paul, was there anything else that you wanted to add into that little section?
I was going to jump in and add a few. So I think the Tech Collective this time around has created a lot more opportunities. In the beginning, we were having sort of once a month meetings with Diabetes UK. We've branched out on the social media. So we have a Facebook group that we use to speak more regularly. We can compare stories, see what's going on in different parts of the country. We can get organized. We know a lot of the advocacy has to be done on Twitter because that's where you get access to the politicians, the NHS, the decision makers. So we use our social media groups to coordinate those and make sure, you know, we can put out posts at certain times and use specific hashtags. So it's created a big opportunity for us to get more organized this time around. Having Daniel and Jackie on board and other members of the Diabetes Scotland, it's a real partnership this time where we're highlighting things and then they're putting it in front of the politicians for us as well, which is fantastic. And it's great to hear, you know, when we're comparing our stories and saying, you know, and encouraging each other to speak up. I've seen Kirsty has put in the chat about it, gave her the encouragement and the confidence to go and challenge her her team as to why she was being denied tech. So it's great to hear stories like that where it has a positive outcome and, you know, Kirsty was maybe told no and then goes away and speaks to us and we say, you know, other parts of the country, people are getting this.
Yeah.
Why don't you go back and, you know, highlight this? And when you make your case, yeah.
Absolutely.
You and can get a positive outcome.
No, I get that totally. And that's where peer support and online communities, social media, Facebook groups, Twitter pages, you name it, are so vital, aren't they, to kind of keep up to date and see what's going on? Because
it's just a great place to compare different things going on in different parts of the country and just ensure that everyone's treated the same.
Yes, because I know 2 years ago when I wasn't in this sort of position I'm in now, is I felt completely alone. I didn't know much and I kind of knew a little bit about Libre, but that was it. I didn't know anything else. And it's only from the community I've seen amazing people like you guys advocating for amazing technologies and stuff like that. You start learning about it and then you know what I mean? So I do worry for the people that who maybe aren't as tech savvy. And like you say, the social media has had a big impact. Because like you said, you've got like MPs and different healthcare professionals on social media, and that's great that they interact with. But I feel for the people that maybe don't have this and that part of these sort of communities, is do they know about these sort of things? Because I think we've all seen people talk about since the pandemic is the time has reduced from seeing the diabetes team face to face, maybe. So it might be less times that you hear about these things, because it was only through me going to a appointment with my nurse I learned about smart pens, and now a big like person who's really advocating for smart pens. So it's social media has a huge impact, isn't it, and peer support on that. Daniel, was there anything else that you wanted to bring into that before we fire some questions at you?
No, I think the Tech Collective answered it amazingly, better than I could.
Super.
Can I add something to that?
Go on.
Alison found a petition online for pump access for children in the Highlands of Scotland. I reached out to them. They knew nothing of the campaign. They're being told they're having to wait 4 years, maybe more. Doctors are saying contact the MSPs, tell them we need more funding. They're asking for more funding. But with Alison finding that petition, they've actually joined us on the Tech Collective. They've been really good with doing things like filling in ScotGav form that's wanting to know how we need to improve rural and remote healthcare. So they've completed that and sort of bumped that up the list to get diabetes tech recognised as a need. Just because you live in the north of Scotland doesn't mean you should be excluded.
Oh yeah, 100%, 100%, isn't it? We've talked about that already tonight, isn't it? Like different parts of Scotland, Paul couldn't get Libre, but his brother can. And I hear similar stories around England and the rest of the UK that certain people can't get certain insulins in certain areas. And you see and hear the impacts of how things may work, and you want that for your healthcare, for your diabetes management, and then you go to ask it and you can't get it. It's really frustrating. So let's catch up a little bit with Daniel a little bit. So Daniel, obviously you're the campaigns and public affairs officer at Diabetes Scotland. Can you share with us a little bit about what that role actually entails? What sort of things do you do on your day to day? And then we'll in a sec we'll talk about the campaign itself.
Yeah, no, absolutely. No, thank you very much. So in essence, I work for Diabetes Scotland. And what we do is we're the leading charity for people living with diabetes in Scotland, but we're also part of Diabetes UK, which means we're part of that wider community of nations in the UK. So we're also part of that wider campaigning. So we focus on Scotland, but we've got the support from Diabetes UK as well. On the day-to-day in my role, what I basically focus on is coordinating our campaigns in Scotland. At the moment, that's tech, but next year it will be other specific issues facing people living with diabetes. And then the other side of my role is about working with MSPs and working with the Scottish Government to make sure that diabetes is top of the political agenda in Scotland.
And what sort of things have you actually taken to Parliament, to the Scottish MPs? What sort of things have you discussed with them? Or has there anything come out of what you've put to them?
Yeah, no, absolutely. So really the work with the MSPs this year has been around highlighting the inequalities of access to diabetes technology in Scotland. So what we did was we started with working with one of our co-conveners of the cross-party group, which Alison's already spoken about. Yeah. We worked with that MSP to get a parliamentary motion, which basically is when the parliament, the MSPs, all put their name to a kind of document that outlines what the parliament supports. So in this case, it was the parliament acknowledging our campaign for fair and equal access to diabetes technology and highlighting that there is an inaccessibility to tech in Scotland. And that parliamentary motion now currently sits with just under 30% of all MSPs supporting it. And that's three party leaders and three health spokespeople. And it really shows the support that the MSPs have, that the parliament has for this campaign. Yep. We've also had four written questions to the government from various MSPs. They would have been a lot more, but due to the ANYA announcement of the National Onboarding Programme for Diabetes Tech being a bit delayed, we held off on that because we wanted to make sure that we were getting the right information for people living with diabetes. We also had one of our fantastic supporting MSPs, Faisal Chowdhury, who asked a question in the Chamber of the Scottish Parliament, asking what is the situation for fair and equal access to diabetes tech in Scotland? And that question was asked just before the election of the new First Minister. So frankly, the chamber was completely full for once. So, everybody heard it. All the MSPs heard it. And we've also had two letters to the Cabinet Secretary for Health. And the Cabinet Secretary for Health has got a very long title. But we've had two letters to him, again, welcoming that announcement of the National Onboarding Programme for diabetes technology, but actually going further and stating what are the government's plans to go further and faster in rolling out diabetes technology, but also what are their for future plans for continued sustained funding of diabetes technology. Yes. That was sent in by one of our co-conveners, but also one of the other party leaders and health spokespeople in the Scottish Parliament. So really these are showing that activity and that political attention that is on the campaign for access to diabetes technology. And it's also part of what the Tech Collective has been supporting us in doing.
Absolutely brilliant. Alison, Paul, Leslie, let's bring you guys in. What's your thoughts on that? All the amazing things that Daniel has done and has been part of in his role as the campaigns and public affairs officer at Diabetes Scotland. When you hear all the amazing things that he's doing with you guys and taking it to Parliament and all these initiatives and things, what comes to mind for you guys?
Daniel is awesome.
Yes.
He knows that. I tell him that all the time. It's just, you know what it is for me, it's just having that connection.
Mm-hmm.
Having that right at your fingertips, and who can say that? Not many people can say that. No. I mean, I know I'm in Edinburgh, and it's just something that you've just got to do. I think it feels like a responsibility in a way, because it's an opportunity, and who wouldn't want to take it, you know? I mean, we're so lucky. We're so lucky. Not lucky to have type 1 diabetes, obviously, but lucky to have that.
Have amazing people. Connection. Yeah. Yeah. Have amazing people and leading charities like Diabetes UK, the JDRF, you know what I mean? There's amazing people who are actually fighting for us and for fair and equal access. And like Daniel said, no need talking about it for now, but that's sustainability, isn't it, for the future? And ensuring that people have this access.
The big thing for me, Tom, is Daniel's got access to people that we can't get access to. Daniel's got direct access to them. So by bringing these things to Daniel's attention, he's able to make sure this is raised in Parliament and the politicians are seeing it.
Yes.
We can tweet about it and tag them and stuff and write letters, but are they about it? Whereas we know that when Diabetes Scotland and Daniel and his role take that to Parliament, it is actually being spoken about, which is great.
Amen to that, 100%.
Absolutely. It's a great role. It's a great role that he plays, because I don't remember ever having that really up until now. That is really what drives us, you know, because...
Is it a fairly new role? Is it fairly...
Talk to each other about it.
Yeah.
But there's so many strands and so many influential people and people making decisions on our behalf, you know? And this is what really is beginning to narc me, these decisions that happen. And sometimes we're not aware of them. And we're kind of like, why didn't anybody ask us about that? We could have told them that, you know, type thing. And the more we get involved, the more it just becomes a natural thing, really, because everybody's got something that they want to talk about. And that's why we keep saying, come and join this group. Because it's literally a connection, and you know, that's priceless, really.
It does feel like a really big team effort this time round as well, which is great. Between the people joining the Tech Collective, the people living with diabetes, and Diabetes Scotland being able to take this in front of the politicians and the decision makers.
What we have to remember is diabetes, until we get a cure, diabetes, you know, we've got it. And technology, we're always going to have to keep being mindful that it costs money, you know. And in our system, with the NHS and taxpayers, we got to be mindful of all of that. But, you know, this is going to help so many people, and we just have to keep driving that fact through.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it's not going to go away.
Nope.
And it needs to be fixed kind of long term. That would be great, you know, to have a system where we don't have to keep doing this, you know, we don't have to keep campaigning. And I'm sure that'll be something that'll come out of this, you know, in the future, because it ain't going anywhere else, is it? We have to keep on it and keep encouraging each other.
So what are the plans for the future then, guys? Alison, Paul, Leslie, part of the Tech Collective, but also Daniel in your role. What are the plans? What are the ambitions for the group and the campaign and the future for diabetes?
Well, in terms of the campaign, the Diabetes Tech Can't Wait campaign, in November on World Diabetes Day, we've got a parliamentary reception that we're hosting in the Scottish Parliament. And there we're going to be launching our Diabetes Tech Can't Wait campaign report, which will bring together all the fantastic work that's been done by the Tech Collective, the wider diabetes community, and also kind of on our policy side in terms of our policy researcher. We're going to be putting forward recommendations to the Scottish Government and to the health system. And these recommendations we're going to move into next year, and we're going to be taking those recommendations to the NHS in Scotland and also to the Scottish Government, and really kind of put to them, this is what we have uncovered in terms of the barriers to rolling out diabetes technology and getting that fair and equal access to diabetes tech. And this is what we think should be done to really bring down those barriers and get to where we all want to be, which is fair and equal access to diabetes tech across Scotland.
What about you guys then, Alison, Paul, Leslie? Any thoughts for you guys of where you want to see it go?
I want to get more people involved. I just checked the Facebook page. There's 51 people on the group, and that's just on Facebook. There's still all those people that get emailed and that. So there is a lot of people there. But I think everybody needs to have their voice heard.
Yeah.
You know, we're stronger together. You can go right to your MSP, your MP, put a letter into the hospital saying, this is why I want tech. But you're just one person. They're like, nah, don't really need to deal with you. But if we're together, we're stronger.
Absolutely, isn't it? And we've seen the sort of movements that have taken place with initiatives like hashtag We Are Not Waiting with the DIY community. We've seen movements the last couple of years with the Insulin for All campaign and the cost in there. And you know what I mean? We've seen also in England as well how things have massively changed just this past decade, this past couple of years, with amazing people in the healthcare professional. Like Parthakar, and I'm sure you've all seen the sort of roadmap of the evolution of tech in the UK and how it's changed over the last 5-10 years. And some of the points that I put down here was like things such as tech CGM for pregnant women, the NICE consultation on the provisions of Flash, and as we're aware now, the Libra turning into a CGM. The NICE TA draft with the hybrid closed loop, you know what I mean? They're amazing things that have evolved over the last couple of years, and people hopefully are getting that access to that. What are your sort of thoughts on this then, the sort of where things have changed over the last couple of years with the tech, how it's advanced? What's your sort of thoughts on this, and when you hear about choice and access, and it's good when you hear these things coming through, but then people may not get that choice. What comes to your mind when you hear that people can't get it?
To me, it's not rocket science. We're always taught prevention is better than cure. We all went for our COVID vaccines because it was better for us. So to give people the chance to get their blood sugars into what they call a normal range for longer prevents complications.
Yeah.
It's cheaper in the long run. How much does kidney dialysis cost or a day in ICU? You know, it's pretty basic. The fundamentals of it.
Yeah, no, I totally get that. And hopefully things will improve. And we talked about that in our sort of welcome chat tonight, where David was talking about he wanted a Libra for many years, and he felt if he would have had it sooner, then that would have helped him in his sort of diabetes journey and less, maybe lessen the load and help with not worrying about complications. And like you say, Leslie, I totally get that. What's your thoughts on this, Alison?
Tom, when you said about how it makes you feel, it's the frustration and the injustice, you know, the fairness and access. I think looking at the future, there's always going to be new devices. There's always new sensors. There's always new pumps. There's always going to be this next new device. And my ambitions this time around is to try and make the decision makers improve the processes for how these devices get rolled out.
Yes.
Back in 2018, when the Libre first came along, it was the first really new one. So you could understand there were teething issues with one area, maybe got it sooner than another. But it took almost 12 months for every area in Scotland to be able to get Libre 1. The process for Libre 2 was much better. But here we are now, 5 years later in 2023, with the Dexcom 1, the Glucomen D and the GlucoRx sensors. Great work being done in NHS England, but you know, it was released last August. It's 12 months later, and I think it's six areas still don't have access to Dexcom 1 in prescription.
Yeah.
It's a similar story in Scotland. It was put on prescription. The first area was December last year. It's now 8 months later, and only six out of the 14 areas are prescribing it. It's just, you know, David said about the whole self-funding and the waiting. It shouldn't take that long. No, I want to see the process improved for absolutely pilot something in one area, but as soon as that's nationally improved, it should be available everywhere at the same time. You can't keep waiting months for the same access as someone else.
Yeah, and it's highly so frustrating, isn't it, when you hear things are have been approved by a NICE or whatever, things are getting rolled out, and then you're thinking, okay, I can have this now. I can have this amazing thing like you've told me about. And yes, I can see the benefits that's having to my peers, and I can see how it's going to benefit me. But then when you go to ask for it, you know what I mean? And you can't get it. It's highly frustrating. Daniel, why were them areas not then implementing what was recommended for them to do then? And from your point, it's so difficult, isn't it, when you hear this is to be implemented out, and then there's still areas that aren't doing it.
That's a really good question, Tom, and it is really what is at the heart of our campaign. Part of our campaign, really, at the beginning of the year and throughout the year and to this point, is about just finding out that information. What is happening in some health boards that's meaning they're not able to roll out this tech, but other areas are? That's why in March 2023, when we launched the campaign, the core ask at that point was people getting in touch with their MSP through the postcode lookup tool and getting their MSPs to ask the health boards what were their plans for the rollout of diabetes technology. Because I think really what we need to know is what is the situation in the health boards? Because if we get that information, we can then start working with the system and with the government to really break down these barriers that are meaning that some health boards, you know, Paul tells his story, you know, some areas like Grampian, he couldn't get the Libre, and other areas could get the Libre. Yeah. And it's this understanding why this is the situation, because we always say in Diabetes Scotland, we want to be a critical friend of the NHS. We're here not to, you know, not to point fingers. We're here to find out the information and work with the NHS and the government to resolve them, because at the end of the day, that's how we're going to get fair and equal access to diabetes technology in Scotland, because we know there are some phenomenal clinicians in Scotland really working on this. Dr. Brian Kennan, the clinical lead for diabetes in Scotland, is an amazing advocate. I know Paul, Allison and Leslie have heard him speak many times at the cross-party group, and he's really championing fair and equal access to diabetes tech in the NHS, but we all need to come together, and that's what the Tech Collective is doing, and they're working with us and the wider diabetes community to make sure we find out this information and then put it into action, which we'll be doing with the campaign report.
Brilliant, and look forward to reading that and seeing what comes of it, and will that be published on like social media and stuff like that come November time, right?
Yeah, absolutely. We'll be putting all over social media. I can send it to you personally as well, Tom, so you can have a read over it and have a wee talk about it as well.
Absolutely. So, Liz, I see there's a question from you. You've joined the panel as well. Why don't you fire that one to Daniel? You've got a question specific to Daniel, and then we'll have a look at some of the other questions that we've got as well. Okay, maybe Liz is...
No, I'm here, sorry.
It's all right. Technology's not... No.
I've been making notes as I've been going along. Guys, I just want to say what you're doing is fantastic. I'm just thinking about... I do quite a lot of advocacy work here in Ireland with our government, the way things are run here are different to the UK. As in, we just have the HSE who manage the whole of the country. We don't have, like you guys have, various different areas. Like, I lived in Luton for nearly 20 years. So I know it was, there was, I can't recall what you call them, trusts. That's it. The different trusts. One of the questions I was asking, Daniel, is what do you guys do, or what do you plan on doing when there's a new government? One issue that we had here, when we got a new government in 2020, I think it was, in 2019, there was three of us had the opportunity to present to our TDs and senators here in Ireland about diabetes. I asked my endocrinologist to come with us and speak about what was missing here. So we spoke about what was needed. We also invited Diabetes Ireland to come with us as well, and they spoke. But the one thing that happened was not, again, one of the things that came from that meeting is that we set up a cross-party diabetes group, which was made up with anyone who wants to join. What happened then was they had their first meeting in, say, December. Then in January, there was the government decided to go to the polls in February. So in March, we had, it took 6 or 7 weeks to get a new government. When we did get a new government, then everything started. There was the TD that was chair of the cross-party group, didn't get re-elected. So again, I'm fortunate. I know quite a few of my TDs in my area. So I contacted one of them. Again, it was COVID, so everyone was stuck at home, and asked, could we get it started again? And I spoke with Diabetes Ireland, and we got it started again. But how does that affect you? Because we had to start from ground zero again with the new government, and the government is there for 5 years. So how do you guys manage that? Or how do you think you will manage that if it happens in Scotland? Does that make sense?
Yes. No. So kind of that question around how we're planning for the kind of forthcoming Scottish Parliament election, basically, and a possible change of government.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's a really interesting question. The Scottish political landscape when I started this job was one, and if you'd bet me £100, I wouldn't have said it would have been where it is now. And I think that's the reality we're dealing with. And it's what we need to acknowledge, that I can't predict what's going to happen in the next Scottish parliamentary election. We have a prospective Westminster election next year. If that delivers, we're doing a lots of ifs and buts here, Liz, but if an election next year delivers a Labour government, then a Labour government in Scotland's looking even more likely. We're currently having conversations about, you know, party conferences, you know, what ones do we go to, how prominent are we at them? The way I'm seeking to position ourselves is to make sure that we are talking to the relevant parties that are going to be looking to form a government. So you're looking SNP as the current governing party, and Labour, who frankly look like they're going to be a prospective possible next Scottish government. However, that could be with a coalition, and in that case could be the Liberal Democrats. What I'm seeking to do is I consistently work with the Labour Party to understand, one, their health policy, and how we can make sure that diabetes is considered in that health policy from the ground level, not just influencing it at the end when they're telling us about the health policy. I want to influence the health policy when they're developing it as a policy, so that diabetes is considered at the ground level as they develop the health policy, not as an afterthought. And then with the SNP, and in terms of their prospective government, that's part of just the general influencing of the government. So if they stay in government, our general work will have continued in that vein. But if we shift to a Labour government in the next, you know, in 2026, I'm hoping the work that we're doing at the moment will mean that we're in a really strong position to have diabetes at the top of an ex-future government. In terms of cross-party groups, I kind of had to re-establish our cross-party group when I started this job in November. So I've been where you are, but you have to kind of kickstart one again. We're now on our third meeting in the last 8 months. We've got another two in the diary. And it's a lot of the time, it's just about keeping it going. Whether we've got two MSPs there, which I would prefer we not, I'd prefer we have more, or we have six, it's about keeping the momentum going. And our possible plans for next year are to move into an inquiry function for the cross-party group, to kind of put the onus on the MSPs to hold the government to account on diabetes care in Scotland.
Yeah, that sounds brilliant. And it's fantastic to hear. The only difference here is, again, there's coalition, but there's so many different parties here in Ireland. Mm. You never know where to go to and who to talk to. Personally, me, I talk to all of them.
Oh, of course.
And with my TDs here in where I live, I'm constantly speaking with them. They actually know me, and they know that if it's an issue for diabetes, say they get a representation in and they don't know where to go, the TDs, their secretaries, will call me and ask my opinion on it, which is good, and it's handy to know. But the way I'm looking at it is, you never know who's going to be in government next. So again, here in Ireland, the way the political landscape is looking, we may well have one party, but a coalition, a few parties. But that way, I personally find it quite hard to get them to commit to anything. Like, they'll tell you on the doors and when you're talking to them, yeah, we'll do that. But here it's with regards to our budget, and our budget is normally in September, October. For the last budget, every party writes their budget submissions. And as it happened, out of all of the budget submissions from about six different parties, one of them did have diabetes in it, which I was delighted about. But it's one of the smaller parties. So again, I've reached out to that party to speak with them. But then again, I'm only one individual. I'm not a member of Diabetes Ireland. I don't know what they're doing, because, again, you have to be a member for them to share the information with you, which I find quite frustrating, but that's by and by. But what you're doing is fantastic, and I'm so glad to hear about it. One thing that I think Leslie shared, and it shared something, and it made me go in and look at the Scottish Parliament and what you're doing. What I thought was fantastic is that you have the minutes of all of the meetings, and you have all your MSPs, and you have all the people that attend the meetings that are involved in it. I thought that was fantastic. So anyone can go in and have a look, whereas here we don't have that. And it was something that I thought, oh yeah, I might suggest that to one of the TDs that we have here that's chairing it. But I just think you're doing amazing work there, and well done.
No, thank you very much. Really appreciate that.
Thank you so much for Liz for talking and raising some points there for Ireland as well. Really fascinating chat tonight, guys, on Diabetes Chat. If you want to get involved, hashtag Diabetes Chat or hashtag Diabetes Tech Can't Wait. And if you have any comments or questions for the guys, please send them through. Was there anything else that you guys wanted to raise in this opportunity right now? In tonight's chat, I'm sure, I know we spoke offline in our group chat, I'm sure we can set up future discussions, because I think it's so important that we do this. Was there anything, Paul, Leslie, Alison, you wanted to mention?
Is there something I can say quickly, Tom?
Go on, Daniel.
Just to thank the Tech Collective for getting this opportunity and kind of putting the work that they're doing out there, and also inviting us to be part of it. Also just want to say, in terms of our campaign going forward, the heart of the campaign is people's stories, and it's the lived experience of people living with diabetes. Yeah. And we're always looking for people to share their stories with us about their experiences of access to diabetes technology, or lack thereof access to diabetes technology. If anybody wants to do this, they can go onto our website, the postcode lookup tool, and they can input their story in there, and then somebody will get in touch with them to kind of flesh it out and kind of talk to them about how they would like it to be presented. So if anybody wants to share their story, which really is what drives this campaign forward, we'd really appreciate that. And it's also to say, we've got a webinar coming up at the end of August where people can really come along and find out just information about tech. The webinar is focused on providing first-time information about diabetes technology. It's literally called Intro to Diabetes Technology, because we understood that a lot of people out there don't know about diabetes technology, let alone if they're eligible for it. So we've got the clinical lead for diabetes, Dr. Brian Kennan, who's also a diabetes consultant. He is going to be talking about what the tech is, what the eligibility criteria is, and really just providing that vital information. So that a tweet will be going out on Thursday with all the details and how to sign up. So if anybody wants to come in here, it would be fantastic to have you along. Obviously, you'll appreciate it will be a bit more focused on Scotland, as it is the Clinical Lead for Diabetes in Scotland, but you're more than welcome to come along. And as I say, we really appreciate the opportunity coming along this evening. So thank you very much.
No, it's been really good. Thank you so much for coming on. In terms of the stories, are they specific to people that are residents in Scotland, or can it be people all over the UK and beyond, or is it for this specific campaign, obviously, because it's Scotland, is it just Scotland residents currently?
So if you go, people use the postcode lookup tool, it's specifically focused on Scotland and England at the moment, right, as that's where the campaigns have launched. But if you go to the postcode lookup tool and you put your postcode in for, yes, Scotland or England, it directs you to the relevant sections of the campaign, and input your story through there will direct it to the relevant campaign, and make sure it's being used in the most efficient way to kind of get the story out there in the respective nations.
No, that's great. That's amazing. Interesting question. So obviously you go to Parliament and you raise the voices of the tech collective and all the amazing stuff that you're doing. Has there, or will there be a plan for someone who actually does have diabetes that actually goes to Parliament themselves and speaks to members? Has that been done, or is that something that could happen?
Yes, no, it was done recently. We had one of our cross-party groups recently that actually happened just after the announcement of the National Onboarding Programme for Diabetes Tech in Scotland. And we had two of our young leaders. It was Shelley and Alyssa Faulkner. And they both came along. Shelley spoke at our first cross-party group. Actually, I'm now getting confused with how many people have come along and shared their stories. Shelley presented, at the first cross-party group this year. And then it was Alyssa Faulkner and Kirsty Jarvis that spoke at the last cross-party group. And they spoke about their experiences of diabetes technology.
Yeah.
And both spoke very passionately. And I know Alison was in the room and also asked questions as well, and I think Alison can speak to how fantastic Alyssa and Kirsty were at, you know, really putting across their experiences of tech to these MSPs. And also it should be said that one of the co-conveners of the cross-party group for diabetes in the Scottish Parliament lives with type 1 diabetes herself, Emma Harper, MSP.
Okay. Like Theresa May, I guess, who's obviously the Prime Minister.
Yeah. Yes, indeed, yeah.
That's good. I guess it makes it even more relatable, isn't it, having someone who actually really gets it. Like, it's amazing to have people, we've already said tonight, amazing people like yourself, Daniel, and Jackie, and everyone else part of the team, who are really passionate to help the diabetes community, not only, yes, in Scotland, but the UK, but also having that sort of, You know what I mean? What you're doing is hopefully driving it for equal and fair access for all, for everyone in all countries. And it's amazing all the things that you're doing. Obviously, people can go check out all the amazing stuff that the campaign, like you said, on the website, diabetes.org.uk/tech. Can't wait. We'll send out all the links and stuff so you don't have to memorize that. Obviously, they can follow the social media platforms, right? Twitter and Facebook. I know Mary's sent out a tech Facebook group as well, so that's good. And just keep talking, isn't it, guys? Like, people who are listening tonight or listen back, please reach out to amazing people like Alison and Daniel and Paul and Leslie and Jackie, and just talk. And if you feel that you want to get involved, then please do, whether it's sharing your story or being part of the Tech Collective team or whatnot. Please do reach out to the guys. Honestly, it's been a really, really fascinating chat tonight. Thank you so much. I just want to look at the polls. But before we do that, Leslie, Alison, Paul, thank you so much. Was there anything else that you wanted to raise that I've missed or whatnot?
Don't think so. No, just thanks for the opportunity, Tom.
Brilliant.
Thanks for having us.